Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. I'm Christian Warren. Alongside me is Dave Johnson. Dave, how's it going?
Oh, it's good.
Just me and Dave today hanging out. I'm just kidding.
Nope. Guys.
We got Kevin Tinkin and Jane Fawcett.
Hey, RIP Sarah.
Yep, Sarah is, she's no longer a host of the Spoutcast.
No, that's a lie.
Sarah was unable to attend, so just me and Dave are going to hang out today. And is that cool?
Nope.
Hey, Kev, you want to hang out?
Yeah, let's cool. Go to Starbucks.
Kevin, how's it going, man?
I'm feeling greased up today. I'll be honest.
Rough day, huh?
No, it's been a good day. I just been working hard. I spent the morning working on a drain,
all right,
and a sink, and I popped my shoulder out of place trying
wow,
to.
Wow, rough yeah. day.
And are you a handyman?
No, I was trying.
Come on.
Yeah. You YouTubed how to unclog a drain?
No. I had to take the whole drain assembly off and.
Oh.
That's real stubborn.
Assembly, that's a big word.
He called somebody to fix his drain, and during the time of calling, his shoulder somehow popped out.
I try to hit the nine every time. Every time I try to hit the nine, just my shoulder just goes out. It really reach.
Man, big deal.
But yeah, I haven't taken a shower today.
That's all right.
So I look good.
Well, we've got a good show for you guys. Once again, I just need to apologize for last week's music. A lot of people
Seriously.
Have not liked it. So, I had somebody tell me this weekend that was the first time I actually preferred listening to boy bands over any other type of music. So,
wow. Well, I hope yeah. that this week brings it back around.
Yes, because this week's music, we are having Jane's favorite songs that, she likes, but everyone else might hate.
See, so, I think I kind of had a hard time picking this
yeah.
because I don't know if everyone's going to hate them. But
yeah.
there's just some songs that maybe I do love.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I think they don't get enough credit.
Here are the songs. She's playing Who Let the Dogs Out?
Who?
Barbie
who?
Girl.
Who? Oh,
Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba.
I'm just kidding.
So bad.
Well, hey, we've got a fun show for you guys today. We are going to talk about yesterday's message regarding kind of remarriage and divorce.
Mm.
And then we're also going to be talking a little bit about Discovery, because Jane and I attended Discovery this past weekend.
Mm.
And then during the interview segment, we are going to talk with Wendy Mooney, who is one of our counselors here on the counseling staff at the well, I guess. And she's going to talk about the counseling center, what they do, and kind of how you can get involved in going to counseling. And then we'll close out the show with some announcements. But yeah, sad day for Sarah, but the three of us get to hang out.
Speak on it, brother.
And yeah, so stay tuned for some discussion on remarriage and divorce, and then enjoy some Chumbawamba and Barbie Girl and all of Jane's music that she loves but everybody hates. Stay tuned for that.
I was sitting there selling turnips on a flatbed truck, crunching on a pork rind when she pulled up. She had to be thinking this is where it next come from. She had Hollywood written on her license plate. She was lost and looking for the interstate, needing directions, and I was a man for the job. I told her way up yonder past the caution light, there's a little country store with a no coke sign. You gotta stop it and ask Miss Bell for some of her sweet tea.
And Jesus says in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one who loves me. The difficulty in that, though, still is how much of the deeds of the flesh do I have to communicate before you go, I don't know if he knows the Lord? And how much godliness do I have to show to affirm that I do know the Lord? The reality is it's vague at best. And so I think the reason God makes it vague is so that we don't treat it flippantly. It's not easy. There's not a cut and dry. There's not a, well, clearly then, therefore, you know, A is B and B, C, so A is C. What's the big deal? No, we're talking about marriage. Have any of you ever seen a clean divorce? Everybody wants one, right? If they're going through one, oh yeah, but it's going to be amiable. Yeah, I think they say that on the front end. Very difficult to do. Why? Because there's pain involved. And as a Christian, we've got a responsibility to pursue reconciliation if our spouse is a believer, to be free and let them go if our spouse is not. But at the end of the day, we may not know for sure, so we need to pursue as if they are until they demonstrate clearly over time that they're not. Can I tell you what I'm cautious about or concerned about? So a Christian is married to a person who claims to be a Christian, and they do something stupid. And so the Christian goes, yeah, a Christian wouldn't do that. Christian wouldn't do that. I'm free, baby. Come on, the Bible says, right? We just read it. So they did something that's not godly. They looked at pornography that one time, right? I'm free. I go, whoa. Easy. You might be, but we don't know yet. And unfortunately, what happens all too often as a Christian is waiting to find some way to go, yes, it's your fault. And now I'm free and you're the villain. Yes, and I get to remarry now. I'm like, whoa, easy. Not that remarriage couldn't be possible, but what's the rush?
That was a clip from the last week's sermon in 1 Corinthians 7, 12 through 16. And I played an extra long clip only because I felt like Brad, for the most part, stayed on that topic for a good chunk of the sermon. But the first half of the sermon, he essentially just talked about divorce and how divorce, God designed marriage for people to be married and stay married. And there was no one way around it. There was no, you just don't get divorced. Like, that is God's plan for marriage. That's God's design for marriage. One man, one woman for the rest of their lives. And so that was very clear. And there's just really no excuse for divorce in marriage. But in certain cases, there is, I guess, just some laws you have to follow. Is that a healthy way of saying mm-hmm. it?
Yeah.
And we talked about if you are an unbeliever and you've married another unbeliever, and then throughout your marriage you've become a follower of Christ. Basically, it says stay in your marriage because you might be, I don't know how to define it. You might be able to. It's better for you to stay in your marriage to shine light to your husband and to your kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the other side of it was, if you are, how would it work? If you're married and you're a Christian and your husband's not a believer, it's saying, look, if he's not a believer, based on this clip that Brad just said, don't just all of a sudden get divorced because he's not a believer, but hang out with your husband and make it, try and make it work. Try and make it work, even though he's not a believer or a spouse, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. But if he is not, and he's not showing that he's pursuing Christ, then and only then are you free to get remarried. Do you guys say that's a good interpretation?
Yeah, if the spouse is an unbeliever and you give them the choice to leave and they take the choice to leave.
Yes, you have to give them the choice. Free. Yes.
Right.
And I think the big thing that came out of the whole sermon was like, look, don't look for excuses to try and get divorced. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what people have used the scripture as. It's like, oh, well, I'm just trying to find a loophole in the Bible to try and get a divorce. When the reality is God's like, no, stay married. Mm-hmm. It's better for you to stay married, even though you may not have the same religious beliefs, even though it may be difficult, work through it.
For sure. There was a point that Brad made too in that of, like, now when you get divorced, typically the mom gets the kids because right. she's like the seen as like the fittest parent or whatever. Right. But he was saying back then, like, the dad got the kids because his inheritance was tied to the children.
The dad got the kids 100% of the time.
100%. Yeah. Like, no negotiation.
Right.
So because his like lineage, I guess, mm-hmm. in a sense, is tied to those children.
Yeah.
So to say, like, stay married, maybe not even to win your husband over, but because that might be the only light that your kids see.
Totally. And you know, Brad brought up a lot, like, it was a short passage, but just like a lot of different yeah. kind of almost sub sermons in a sense. And one of the things that Brad brought up that I thought was really good, and I think he talked about it before, he talked about what you were just talking about, but this idea of, putting an effort into your marriage. Mm-hmm. And he used at least the 7 o'clock service. And even in the midweek service, he sort of used it. But it's like a guy will spend hours a day on a golf course and working on his golf game. And he'll be trying so hard to improve his golf game. Or at the 7, he used the example of working out at a gym. And you've got this couple that they're just, they're such a fit couple. And they're like constantly worried about what they eat and how they work out and how many hours they've ran during the day. But their marriage is a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. And Brad's just going, if you put half the effort in your marriage as you do to working out, like how much better of a marriage will you have?
For sure. I agree with that.
Totally.
But I wonder too, how much of like that person, how much of their escape is because their marriage sucks?
Oh.
You know, and like, yeah, they could take some of that time and put it back into their marriage. But I think when they get to that point, it's like, what's the point? You know, like,
oh, totally.
Why even do this? I'm not saying that's the right way to do things at all, but like that's kind of the escape route, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, what'd you get out of it? Anything?
Nothing.
All right. Changing gears here.
No, it was a good sermon. Yeah. I was in and out for it, on Sunday, and then I re-listened to it on the way over here today. Yeah. And, the same thing about the golf analogy. I was thinking about that because I have a lot of hobbies. I am a perpetual hobbyist. Like, if it's not one thing, I'll get out of, you know, playing poker, and I'll get into riding motorcycles, and then I'll get into something else. And so every once in a while, you know, my buddies will be like, "Hey, making time for your lady, right?" Like, and I'm like, I think so. I think I am. And then I have to have a conversation with my wife, but it is like Jane said, you know, it is an escape sometimes because
for sure.
I mean, I was just having a conversation with my wife yesterday where I was basically saying, "Hey, when I come home and, you know, life's kind of crappy at work sometimes, I don't want to come home and do anything. I just want to come home and just be dead to the world and just like sit in front of a computer sometimes, you know?" And I think it's just a testament to the literal nature of, you know, use it or lose it, you know, and the literal nature of if you do work out, you are going to get muscular. If you don't, you're going to atrophy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very much the same in your marriage. The hard part about it is when you're depressed in your marriage or you're depressed in as a real human being, the hardest thing in the world, plus the hardest thing in the world and the one thing that will actually chemically make your body better is working out or working on a relationship.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk to people who are in depression who talk about, you know, "I can't even get out of bed sometimes." Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're in that situation, like Jane was saying, you know, it can be hard to go to work on your marriage. It can be really hard. You don't want to get out of bed, so to speak, you know. And sometimes you just want to go out and hit the ball for 3 hours, you know, at the range. And it is a death to yourself, you know, and it is to live as Christ and just completely forget your own personal desires.
Yeah. And I think part of
really easy to do, right?
Oh, super easy, dude.
I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I think one of Brad's points with the whole thing was he was saying, look, you're not willing to put in an effort in your marriage. And then all of a sudden, when it comes down to like divorce, you're pointing the finger at the other person going like, it's her fault. Right. It's like, well, what did you do to fix it? You know what I mean? Did you do anything? No, I just escaped. I escaped all the time.
Because like on the flip side of that, like what if the wife's idea of like unwinding is spending time with her husband, you know? Like, I feel like there's a flip side to it. I mean,
absolutely.
Take it from the single girl, okay? But like, I mean, maybe the wife is like, "I've been home with the kids all day. Like, can you please just give them a bath?" You know what I mean? Like, what about that side of things?
Well, that's it. That's the same thing.
What do you mean?
It's the same deal.
But like, what if you're like, I just got to sit and watch TV for some time.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. You both need that break. And I don't even think need is the word.
Right.
It's everybody's selfish. Everybody wants their me time and whatnot. And the reality is that you got to go to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why I use the analogy of, you know, depression, you know, with people.
For sure.
Because literally, if you're depressed, you work out, your norepinephrine gets going in your brain, which is going to fix your depression.
Mm-hmm.
But you're depressed, you can't go to the gym, you know? And it's it's kind of that thing. So you come home and you've been with the kids all day and you go, just take them. Just take these little rugrats. I'm sick of them. Your kids and your son and your, you know, just like, yeah, go. This has never happened to me. But, you know, take them. And then the guy's going, oh, I just hate my job. And I just, yeah, oh, you know. And at the end of the day, you have to go, my job is to be a servant to my spouse.
Right.
And gosh, I don't want to do this and I'm going to do it. And the fact that I'm doing something I don't want to do shows my servanthood, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think Paul is very in tune with that idea because, I mean, that's sort of some of what Rick talked about even last week. It's like, look, it's better to stay single because your priorities shift when you're not. Mm-hmm. And your priority is your spouse. And you're going to have to die to yourself a whole lot more than you're going to have to when you're single in some senses, because there's going to be many instances where you're just going to have to give up your own self and just go, right, yes, wife, like I'm going to serve you right now. And so I think Paul is very in tune with that concept of just going, yeah, you are going to be tired and yeah, you are going to be sick of doing whatever. But the reality is that like a godly marriage is much better and it's healthier and it's like, it's meant to be for God. And so, yeah, there's going to be a little extra effort that you got to put in over time. Yeah. But I think the reward on the backside is that much greater.
Right.
And, you know, it was at the 7 o'clock service. It was funny. Brad made this great, you know, he's just talking about like, why would anybody at the 7 o'clock service care about this? And I think it's because the reality is, a lot. I mean, he even said, hey, raise your hand if your parents have ever been divorced. And it was like over half the people in the audience raised their hand. And I don't know if you were standing in the back, but I like turned around and I was like, wow. I mean, it was like a lot of people. And Brad was basically saying like, look, don't pay like, or don't pay the dumb tax for what your parents did. You know what I mean? Like learn from this and learn that like, this scripture is not telling you how to be married, but it's telling you, look, the scripture clearly says, put an effort into it and don't become divorced. Don't try and find an excuse to be divorced. Yes, your husband is going to sin. Yes, your wife is going to sin. But does that mean you just leave your marriage because of a mistake or a numerous amounts of mistakes? No, yeah, that's not God's design for marriage. We live in sin. And so we need to pursue Christ and we need to pursue a healthy marriage.
Yeah.
And I think that was like an overarching theme in the whole thing. If you haven't heard that message, I would say check it out, listen to it.
I did want to say something about, you know, people out there with parents that are divorced. If your parents are believers or if you feel that they've learned something from the divorce, I would say this is something that I did in the last 6 months. I sat down with my dad and I was reading some science thing that was about tags on your DNA and how basically you can inherit genetic markers that your parents have when they give birth to you, which is, it's a theory and whatnot, but it made me think the sins of the father inherited by the son.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I went and which got me thinking. So then I called my dad. I was like, Dad, you know, can we go get some coffee or a sandwich or something? So I sat down with him and my dad's been, you know, he's been divorced and he's on number three.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God bless him. He's doing a good job and he's doing the best that he can at this point. But I just, you know, there's so much mysticism around that. And as a child, you get one view. And so I just sat down and said, Dad, what happened? Like what went on there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell me how you were a moron, you know, or tell me what can I do to not do that?
Right.
You know? And I think that's one of those things. I think kids, or us, or adults, people with parents that are married, it's nice to be able to look and see what's going on and see what a healthy marriage or what a non-divorce marriage looks like. And you can learn from that, but I think people take it for granted, you know, because they don't think about it being hard. And then they just jump into marriage going, oh, this is going to be great. You know, my parents are happy. And I think likewise, people who have divorced parents, they think my parents are such morons. They screwed it up. You know, I'm not going to ask them any advice. Right. They're idiots.
Yeah.
You know, but I think there's a lot of good stuff to put in that. So just, I don't know, I kind of felt that on in the back of my throat as you were talking about that. So I just wanted to put that out
there.
That's
really cool.
No, I think it's good to always not only learn your background a little bit and your parents' background, but just to recognize that you are a product of your parents. You're a product of your environment. And you may have this outlook of like, I'm going to never do what my parents did to me. But it's like, nothing's above you. And I truly believe that if you pursue Christ, then you're going to have a healthy marriage. But that's not to say that you're not going to sin and you're not going to have rocky roads along the way. And I think that the best thing we can learn is like, just when things get rocky, don't just, Brad used the term punt like 25 times last night.
Did he?
Don't just punt your marriage.
Yeah.
Make an effort. And so I did want to switch gears here a little bit, if that's okay, you guys. but Jane and I attended Discovery this past Saturday.
Sure did.
And Kevin was not there.
Nope.
So, but if you have never been to Discovery, Discovery is just a way to get to know about the well. Kevin, you said you went way back in the day.
I've been to a couple of them, yeah. I haven't been to the most recent one.
And I'm assuming they're the same format. It's just new people coming and checking out the well, or people who've been coming forever that just want to know a little bit more about the behind the scenes of the well.
Now they're still doing the personality things at that one?
Yeah. The your unique design.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's unique to you.
Yes.
It is unique to you.
And then they also go through the anatomy of a disciple. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can, there's a Q&A session, and there's a lot of different good stuff. But when's the last time you've been, Jane?
I went a year ago in March, I think. So okay. It's like exactly a year almost.
So when I came on staff, it was not necessarily like a requirement to go. The only reason why it's a requirement, I think, for the well staff is just to stay refreshed, but also because we need table hosts.
For sure, yeah.
And I went when I first came on staff just like, this would be good to go to. Mm-hmm. And it's been 3 years since I've attended a Discovery because it was never a requirement up until now.
Heathen.
Okay.
I know.
It was a requirement last year.
Did you have a note from your dad?
Doctor's note. So it's just a really cool class.
Yeah. So I thought it was way better than when I went the first time, but it's really good. And if you have not been, mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody who's not been?
Yeah. If you haven't been, you definitely should go. I think one thing that I love about it and that I always walk away from, well, I guess in my last two experiences, I come out like feeling a little more like passionate about why I'm here and why I work for the well and why I attend the well, because I mean, you might have heard it said like Brad is like unplugged. This is like Brad's opportunity to just say it how it is, whatever. And I feel like too, why are you laughing?
I'm unplugged. It's just like such a cultural phenomenon, and nothing's really cool about MTV Unplugged, in my opinion.
But okay, well, anyways, jeez.
He's unfiltered.
Unfiltered, man. You definitely don't want to drink your water unfiltered.
Nope,
so.
It's true.
Hey, water reference, but he has a Q&A, which is, I mean, you can ask anything and everything,
right.
And then he just, like, he even mentioned it yesterday, if he could do anything in his job, like, if he could take out teaching, if he could take out whatever, like, the one thing he'd want to keep is teaching Discovery yeah. because that's, like, his atmosphere where he thrives the most.
Yeah, I think it's a good, I think he just feels like it's kind of the old school well again, where there's those 80 people in his living room sense, and he's just chatting with them. I had a funny experience that I told you about at Discovery this past week, but I was sitting down and the Discovery is about to start, and this gentleman and his wife sat down at my table, and he said, hey, I'm Daniel and I'm Debbie. Nice to meet you. And I was like, oh, nice to meet you. Oh, and I said, my name's Christian. I work in WSM. And they go, Christian, like you host the Spoutcast, right? And I'm like, what?
Yeah. That's cool.
And I know it's like super dorky, but like it was like probably the first time where someone's recognized me via the Spoutcast, not like WSM or anything else. Like it was like, you're the Spoutcast guy. You know what I mean? And so that was really meant a lot. And
I'm glad that
and I introduced him to you as well,
because we were at tables next to each other. It's like right behind me.
Another funny thing that happened is like you go through the your unique design. What are you in the your unique design, do you know?
I am a help me out here, what are the four
are
things?
You an energizer persister?
I'm an energizer peacemaker, what's the thing?
Harmonizer?
Harmonizer.
Oh, really?
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow. So
Well, Jeremiah, who's been on the show, he's a harmonizer. And I know this about Jeremiah, but it's been a while since I've had the refresher on, like, you know, how to treat people who are different personalities and whatnot.
Yeah, like who you are on a good day and who you are on a bad day.
Yes, exactly. And it was like, basically Brad was saying, because I'm a catalyzer for Sister, and basically, you know, Jeremiah was at Discovery, and he's sitting like six tables away from me. And at one point, Brad was just saying, you know, harmonizers really like to be asked, like, how they're doing and, like, how is their day? And, like, when you start a meeting, instead of just jumping right into it, ask, like, hey, you know, how's your day or how you doing? And, like, I never do that. Never do that because I'm a persister and we just – it's down to business. And, it, like, as I look over at Jeremiah, he's staring right at me like – it's, like, so funny.
That's funny.
It's very weird. My persisters – I don't know. I argued with the test when I took it, but my persister is, like, a close third.
Yeah.
So it's just really weird. It's,
like, you physically argued with a piece of paper. You're like, how can this be?
Yeah, no, I will, but I will chase you down until we're okay.
All right.
I'm like, are you sure we're fine? Are we okay? Like the other, like last week when Jane was slightly off a little bit, she was a little bit angry.
That happened off air and you just brought it on.
Yeah, right. You just brought it up.
I did. But you were a little, your aura was a little off.
My aura?
But I set the aura off.
And Christian goes, it's like, are you okay? Jane's like, yeah, I'm fine. Are you sure? Are you sure you're okay? And she's like, yes, I'm fine. Are you positive? He's like running. She was driving away and he was running after her car going, are you okay?
She's did like, I do
I'm
that?
Fine.
I did not do that.
You definitely on our breaks, you asked if I was okay a lot. And it was, Jane, I'm sorry. But, I mean, we did have a follow-up conversation the next day to say, listen, this is what you do and this is what you don't do.
Yeah, you don't chase after my car like a dog.
Difficult person to deal with, I think. So if you want to learn more about yourself or you want to learn more about the well, I think Discovery is a great place for you to join and figure that out.
Or if you want to get connected, Discovery is a great option to go to and your table host can point you to a ministry that they think you might be great at. I had a couple who – there's a really cool couple and – she is a marriage family therapist and I don't know what the husband does, but just like my, how long are there? 4 hours of getting to know them. Yeah. Like, I think they'd be great at the marriage mentoring program that we have. Mm-hmm. So even like pointing them to that and they're like, I had no idea that's even an option. Mm-hmm. So it's a cool opportunity to like, I don't know, get the inside scoop a little bit on those things.
So if you have not attended Discovery or you're like Kevin and you attended 3, 4, 5 years ago, it is a good refresher. It really is for people who've been coming for years.
I work retail.
And you can go on Saturday.
I work retail.
So we have a Discovery class coming up in April and May.
Yeah.
You can go sign online, thewellcommunity.org, and sign up. It gives you... a printable homework packet. Mm-hmm. You'll want to fill that out beforehand.
You get breakfast and lunch?
Yeah, breakfast and lunch. The Your Unique Design aspect of it is not mandatory, but is definitely encouraged. It's $35.
And it's helpful.
Yeah, it's super helpful. So you go over that, and yeah, it's a great class. Take advantage of it.
One of my favorite things is when Brad's going through the Your Unique Design, a couple couples at my table, they were like talking about personalities, and like the wife would like... when he would talk about, oh, the husband does this or this personality does this, and the wife would go, that's you. And then like then the husband at my table, one of them was an achiever, like likes to check things off, likes organization, and the husband goes, they're over there. You know, it's like really funny. So yeah, sign up online. Up next we've got some more of Jane's tunes, and we've got a great interview with Wendy Mooney, so stick around for that. Stay tuned. All right, we are back, and we are here with a friend of Jane and myself. This is Wendy Mooney. Wendy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Christian?
I am doing well. Wendy, you may recognize her name. She's been attending The Well for a long time. How long have you been going to The Well?
The fall of 2007.
2007. Mm-hmm. So you were there kind of after the five-year hump, huh?
Right.
Okay. So you've been at The Well for half of the time that it's existed?
Yeah. Just as the North Campus, actually we started in the spring, and as the North Campus opened. Well, I was here for the opening.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fun. Did they do anything special?
Oh, yeah. We did stay the church here.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was really cool.
I heard that the North Campus, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard the North Campus used to have like stadium seating, like a balcony type thing. That's how we have the upstairs.
Oh, yeah. Probably when it was the Cross Church. Yeah.
Or was it the Cross or CBC or something like that?
Oh, yeah, CBC, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of those C words.
So I know a couple of your family members work at The Well.
Yes.
And that is, well, I guess Megan does not work at The Well any longer.
She just retired.
Retired.
Oh, so fun.
Sad day for Megan.
No, sad day for Scott.
Totally.
Yes.
So you got Megan and you got Sarah.
Right.
And Megan, she was Scott's, Carolyn's admin for a long time.
Correct.
What did she do before that? Because she'll never come in here. So
she was, well, Jared had that position.
That's right. Community
pastor. And so
she
started as Jared's admin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Sarah, what's Sarah's last name?
Freitas.
Freitas, that's right. Now she oversees our finances or how does that work?
Yeah, she does accounts payable. Yeah.
Okay.
She makes sure we get reimbursed.
That's right. Oh, I'm very appreciative of Sarah.
Yes, so. I bet you are.
And then Wendy, you are a counselor at our counseling center.
I am. I'm an intern now.
An intern now. So basically, if you're unfamiliar with the counseling center and you don't really know how it works, there's different tiers of counselors, correct?
Correct.
So what would your tier is the bottom tier or how's that work?
Yes. In fact, that's funny. I started the counseling center 3 years ago.
All right.
And now I'm the newest intern. So I'm at the bottom of the heap.
But you started the counseling center and then you started going to school?
Actually, I was already in school.
Okay. So you were like, this needs to happen. We need to have this.
Right. And Brad shared that vision.
Okay.
And so it dovetailed nicely and he supported all the research I was doing. And I was doing all of that while I was in my master's program at FPU. Right.
Was it FPU back in the day or was it MBBS back then?
It was, Mennonite Brethren Biblical Seminary.
So your degree, does it say FPU on it or does it say a diploma?
My class actually was the first one to go through FPU. So yeah, my diploma is from Fresno Pacific.
All right.
Cool. In fact, my license plate frame says that. I'm an alum of Fresno Pacific.
I have like an alumni sticker from FPU in my car and Lacey makes fun of me all the time for it.
Why? Because you're a sunbird?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Sunbird. I'm going to be a sunbird.
Yeah, that's what they are.
Did you know I'm going back to school?
No, good for you.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
Sure.
What got you passionate about counseling?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's a great question. I was in another church in senior leadership.
Yeah.
And I was doing a lot of pastoral care, especially for women and teen girls. And what was coming in to see me, the issues that were coming were so big and so messed up that I felt inadequate.
Yeah. Mm.
And so my desire then was to go to school and get the theory and the psychological science behind it, but integrate it with my faith. So that's why seminary... That's why I went to FPU.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And did you decide that like MBBS or FPU was the place to go or you searched around and...
Well, actually, a couple of my really good friends in ministry were either going there or had gone there.
Okay.
And so it wasn't a hard decision because I knew I wanted a seminary experience and I didn't want to do online or travel. I wanted a classroom experience. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, it
makes
sense.
How long was your program?
It's a 60-unit program. When I went through, now when Lacey's is a 63, I think, unit or 64.
I believe, yes.
Yeah, so because I was working full-time at The Well, it took me 4 years to get through, well, three and a half years to get through my program. Unlike Lacey, who is at light speed.
She's really kind of good. But the funny thing is like, my wife's probably like you, Jane, a little bit of an overachiever, I think, yeah. and likes to get good grades. But Wendy likes to get good grades just as much. But I think like because everybody at FPU told her she couldn't do it, like that's
she's
made her go
around.
Like, you guys are dummies.
She's also a lot younger than I am, too.
Yeah. And she, I think she's also smart and she can retain things more.
Oh, she's done great.
Yeah, she's done great.
And I've been walking alongside her.
Yeah. And I would be like, I would have more of a serious conversation with her if like everybody at the school was like, your grades are down, you're not doing good,
she's
you're
doing
not retaining.
Great.
She's doing fine.
She's doing great. It just took me twice as long.
You were really the one to push her in that direction.
Oh, she's going to be a great counselor.
Yeah, because I remember she came to the well and she was like, I want to start volunteering. And I think she met with you. And then you were like, well, what are your passions? And she's like, I don't really know. Like I work at Starbucks. And then kind of the counseling center came from there or not the counseling center, but the MBBS counseling.
Yeah.
Now back to kind of the tiers of counselors.
Oh, yeah.
So you're the bottom, not to say that you're a bad counselor or whatever, but this is just how it works, right?
The interns collect hours. So you have to do 3,000 hours under clinical supervision.
Yeah.
So I'm at almost 1,500 hours collected.
Right.
And so it takes at least 2 years to get those hours.
Right.
And having an intern status at the Well Counseling Center gives us a lesser or lower fee. So but, someone could come and see a therapist for $40, which is
but
great.
I'm, let's just say I'm the average Joe and I'm coming in. I'm going to get very similar counseling between an intern and someone who's
licensed. Well, I mean, they have experience and they've passed the state boards.
For sure.
So, I mean, they're great therapists. What's neat about an intern is we work under the license of Christine Field, the clinical supervisor. So technically you're getting two therapists for one because she's looking over our shoulder, asking questions in supervision.
Yeah.
So we're not on our own.
She's in the room while you're having a session?
No, we're okay. But if the client is open to it, we'll record them, audio or video.
Okay.
So we're always wanting the supervisor, and she wants to see us in action, hear us in action. So,
Sometimes I think I've been asked the questions of like, well, why an intern? That's weird. They're not even like, it's like, well, they're trained just like everybody else is.
Yeah, I have a master's degree.
Yeah. And so it's like you are in some senses, yes, you're not getting the best of the best, but in some senses it could be a really good thing. And it's just like you may mesh better with somebody who's an intern. And I would hate for somebody to have a stigma of like the term intern.
Oh,
you know?
No, it's not a negative thing. And just between us, cause we're just sitting in our living room chatting, I'll be 55 at next week. Okay. Friday.
We'll cut that out of the show.
No, you don't have to. Cause this is my point. I have a point actually.
Okay.
I'm an intern and I'm 55. So I have all that life experience.
Right.
So if someone can't afford a licensed staff, they can see me without, you know, paying top dollar.
Right.
And then they're able to have my life experience as well.
That's cool.
It kind of works out.
Now, I was thinking on the drive over here, some questions to maybe ask if I was the average Joe thinking about signing up for counseling. Can I ask some questions?
Sure. I do the referrals.
So there you go. So I guess my first question would be like, does every counselor go to the well?
No.
Okay.
No. When we set it up, Brad was not emphatic about that.
Yeah.
Now, especially since we're in 1 Corinthians, the therapists are listening to the sermons because...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Not all of our clients attend the well. We're a community-wide resource now, so
That was going to be my next question.
They come from everywhere, but if a person who attends the well wants to process the sermon, especially the 1 Corinthians stuff that we've been going through... then the therapists want to know. So they're listening to the sermons. Several of them attend the well, but that is not a mandatory. They're a believer, though.
Totally.
Yeah.
Now, this is just, I think, a question that, you know, if I attend the well and my counselor attends the well or whatever, is that weird or how do you guys deal with that type of thing?
Well, that would be called a dual relationship.
Okay.
Okay. And so I talk about it because I do attend the well.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty visible at the well.
Right.
And so with my clients, we talk about what happens if they come out of the women's bathroom stall and I'm standing there washing my hands.
Yeah.
You know, so, and how that is handled is in order for a client to feel comfortable in counseling, they need to feel safe.
Yes.
And they hold all the power, and that's a very sacred relationship.
Right.
So I don't make any approach. If they want to say hi, I'm good with that.
Right.
If they walk right by me, I'm good with that too.
Okay.
Because it's up to them. Gotcha. They hold the power for it, and I'm not hurt or off put, but I would not intentionally go about like sitting at someone's table at Discovery or something crazy like that.
Totally.
I would want to protect them, mm-hmm. and I would want them to feel safe and comfortable in their church.
Right. No, yeah. Totally. Yeah. You know, I think we've talked before. I for many years of my life, probably 12 years of my life, I think I had a bad taste in my mouth about counseling. And I had this stigma in my mind that you had to be really messed up to go to counseling. Mm-hmm. And like you had to be crumbling, falling apart. Like, mm-hmm. because when my parents started going to counseling, it was like a last ditch effort in a sense to save their marriage. Uh-huh. And so from my perspective, I always saw it as like, you only go to counseling when like the world is crumbling around you. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I want to now not only going to counseling, but having a wife who is involved in counseling. I wanted to maybe have you share a little bit about like, not necessarily why would somebody go to counseling, but more like there's a stigma out there, and people who are just dealing with everyday life, I think, can take advantage of counseling, correct?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of life transitions. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see a lot of people in life transitions or bad breakups,
right?
And they need a safe place to just come and process it.
Absolutely.
And it's confidential.
Right.
I mean, we're held to confidentiality by law.
Right.
So we take that very seriously. And so they come for all kinds of different reasons, really.
Totally.
When we started, I thought, oh, you know, I was just going to be depressed or something. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of marriage issues. Mm-hmm. Some people just come in for what they call a tune-up in their marriage. Nothing's broken,
right?
But it could be better. And so they come in and they want to learn how to communicate better or, you know, process something that's happened. So it's really about a safe relationship where you can dump it. And
totally.
Or look at it and process it and get some skills to help you cope.
Right.
So that's what it's about.
Now there, the Well Counseling Center, like you can come in with a range of here's where I'm at or whatever. And there, the Well's not like a specialized counseling center or anything like that. Correct. If that makes sense.
Well, we have a couple of our therapists have subspecialties.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like we have one that, has done extra training in domestic violence.
Okay.
And another one, eating disorders.
Okay.
Grief, addiction. Mm. I mean, so they've specialized in their work.
Right.
Or ADHD. Mm. A couple of our therapists love working with kids. One loves working with adolescents. Mm. Their biographies are actually on our website. So
that
you
was
can
my
see.
Next question. Yeah.
Oh, so, look at me. Just
yeah, you're just zip-zang-zong, man. If I'm wanting to sign up for counseling, how would I go about doing that? And like, you know, what is the process of like, I'm going to a counseling? Cause I mean, my first session at a counseling center was so weird, but like, I think it's cause I didn't really know the process. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So what's the process of somebody getting involved in counseling?
Well, right now, I'll plug the phone number. It's 325-8600 or the website.
Okay.
And it has all this information on it.
The Wells website?
The Well community.org. Under About Us is the counseling center. It's
gotcha.
One of on the menu.
Okay.
So you call or email, and I do all the referrals. And so I'm looking to the client, not so much what the issue is, unless they tell me, but it's really fitting them with the proper therapist.
Right.
So right now we have only female therapists on staff. We have a male pastoral counselor, and he's doing premarital, Tracy.
Right.
But everybody else is female. So I'm kind of mining for, is it okay? There's women,
yes.
You know, do you want an intern that what this is? And then do you want a licensed staff member?
Right.
And then I'm talking about the biography so that they know kind of a front load of what they could get.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's paperwork and
when they get there, though, they're not filling it out before they get there, or how's that
work?
Well,
actually now, we have an adult assessment that we email to the client.
That'd be nice, yeah.
And then they can fill it out and bring it with them.
Oh,
and then
great.
We go over the consent for treatment and things after we meet. The other thing that's really kind of cool about having 9 therapists and a pastoral counselor is that if our relationship doesn't click the first meeting, it's like, ugh, I don't think this is good, then we have other counselors
people,
to go to instead of being like, oh, well, See ya, you know.
Now, I know that there are, the Well is a full counseling center, but there's, we have two locations where people meet, correct?
Right.
And so that's either at the FIG campus or the North campus.
Mm-hmm.
And there, is there any reason why, like, could you just say, like, I live closer to FIG, I want to go there, or like,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the licensed staff are over there. Christine Field, the clinical supervisor, is here at North with us, mm-hmm. with all of our interns.
Oh, okay.
And then the licensed staff are over there, but, you know, we want it to be convenient for the client.
Right.
So if they live closer to FIG, then let's, you know, with gas prices the way they are,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like, well, let's figure out what's closest to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just all about customer service, really.
I have one other question, and then you can butt in, all right, Jane?
Oh, gosh.
Now, when, you know, what are the hours the counseling center happens? You know, some counselors, they're done by an hourly thing, or it's more like just whenever it works for you, I'll be there. I don't know. How does that work?
Well, we all have different hours.
Okay.
And it depends on the clients.
Yes.
I mean, if you can imagine working adults, probably from 4 to 7 at night are like prime time.
Totally.
So most of us have one or two nights a week where we work later so that we can work with the working adults. But I saw a client this morning at 8 o'clock.
Okay. So just whatever
she came
works.
Before work.
Yeah.
And so, and throughout the day, I'm just trying to manage how, what their schedule is and our schedule and availability. And we're all like that. Yeah. We just work when.
So like if I'm calling and, hey, I get off work at 5 o'clock, would that work to go to the Well Counseling Center at 5 o'clock if somebody's available?
I would try to find a therapist that has an opening at that time so that it fits your schedule.
For sure.
Sometimes it's, like I said, those times fill fast.
Right.
But we haven't, and thank God literally for this, we haven't ever had a waiting list.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we have so many therapists, so we can.
But after
take
the
care.
Spout cast today, you're gonna have a waiting list.
Well, I'll just have to hire more therapists.
Do you have any therapists that work weekends?
I think Tracy Hernsberger, the pastoral guy, has done some, and it not right now. Mm-hmm. We only have a couple that work on Friday. Mostly it's Monday through Thursday, honestly. Yeah but long days. 8 to 8, usually.
I think that the counseling center is a brilliant idea on the Wells. Because it's like, I am a pastor, but I've even had parents who I'm like, I am not trained to do anything like that. You know what I mean? And so the Wells been a counseling center has been a good resource for me to toss our leaders to or our parents off to, and just to going like, I will be praying for you. I will come alongside you and your family. But like, this is not something that I am skilled to do.
Well, it
and
really supports the pastors.
Totally.
The ministry
and
here.
And that's what it is for me. And I'm really thankful for it. My wife, you know, she is just thinks the Well having a counseling center is the coolest thing, because a lot of churches don't have a counseling center.
And I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people that need help. And a couple pastors have called and asked me, like, how did you do this and why did you do it?
Yeah.
And actually, I went down to San Diego to North Coast.
Yeah, I know North Coast.
Where Larry Osborne is.
Yeah.
And they've had a counseling center there for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And I went down and met with them and saw how they did it.
Yeah.
And it works, and people are served. And what blows me away every time is when other pastors are now referring, and they know, I mean, the Well has a reputation in our theology, and they feel safe sending their people here
totally.
To get some help and healing. So, I mean, yeah, that's awesome.
And the Well Counseling Center definitely reaches beyond just the Well.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I mean, that's a question that we ask, but that's not what we're after.
A deterrent.
And I mean, we've had atheists.
Yeah.
I mean, they know they're coming to a church to get counseling,
right.
But they feel safe enough.
I didn't know you went to counseling, Jane.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But they feel
shoot, my cover's blown.
Oh no. So that means a lot to me.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't. In fact, one man said, are you going to beat me over the head with the Bible?
Oh,
you know, and it's not about that, but it is.
No,
I mean,
totally.
God's our North Star. Christ is the answer. You know, the healing.
But you guys
spirit.
Are trained in to deal, have an entire counseling session without God ever even being mentioned, or having a counseling session where you do talk about God.
Well, yeah, because we're assessing for spirituality.
Right.
But I'm there and the Holy Spirit comes with me.
Right, yes.
You know, and so I don't see how counselors do it without the Holy Spirit, you know, interceding.
That's what my wife says, so.
I don't see how you could do it and do a good job, but it's really a rewarding thing. I love it.
Well, Wendy, thanks for dropping by the Spoutcast. Well, hope it wasn't too bad for you.
Just like sitting around the living room.
Yeah, that's perfect. How Jane defined it to Wendy coming in. Hey, it's just like sitting around the living
room. It's a comfortable atmosphere. Friends talking amongst friends.
Just like sitting in a counseling center.
Just like it.
Leaning back on the couch.
Well, why don't you toss out that number one more time?
Okay, it's 325-8600.
325-8600.
Yeah, or they can get me at wendy@thewellcommunity.org.
Okay, or they can go to the website at wellcommunity.org and then go to About Us and the Well Counseling Center. Mm-hmm. And I would just say to anybody thinking about counseling, don't feel like you have to have a huge set of problems to go. No. It's just like sometimes it's just helpful, like you said, to just talk about life, have a tune-up, whatever that may be. And it's a really good thing. So Wendy, thanks for dropping by.
Thanks a lot, Christian. Thanks, Janie.
You're all right. Welcome. Up next, we've got some announcements and then we'll close out the show. Okay, we're back. good to be back with you guys here. We're going to close out the show. But before we do that, Kevin.
Yeah.
I want you to share the best joke you've heard in a long time.
Oh. Wait a second.
Yeah.
I got to let everybody know that you just kind of like took your arm out of your shirt and smelled your armpit.
I had to see if
is that because you're there's a lot of moisture today.
There's a lot of moisture.
I want to put this in context here. It's not like Kevin lifted his arm up and sniffed his armpit.
No,
he took his arm out of the armhole,
like right
pulled
now,
the pit of the t-shirt towards his nose.
Yeah, right now this is his radio. Wrist is in the armpit part of his shirt, and he's smelling it.
It smells good.
Kevin.
I had to double check. I'm a caring person, all right? I don't want you guys to be all blown out.
Just keep your arms down.
I'm not going to do that, okay? I like to air it out. I like to keep it breezy.
He's an aerator.
Easy breezy.
Beautiful.
Well, Jane, why don't you...
Armpit boy.
Wait, what about the joke?
I don't think he has one.
Okay.
All right, Jane, why don't you close out with some announcements?
All right.
Okay.
So just a reminder, we have a counseling center available at our church. Definitely, if you are thinking about counseling, every time, if you're considering going to counseling, call the number that Wendy gave. I don't remember what it is.
325 something, something, something.
Yeah.
8800, I think.
Go on our 8100, I think. Don't call that number, but go on our website, thewellcommunity.org, and there is an option to... I think she said get connected and then counseling center tab. So there's an option to do that. And then
I just pictured, I just pictured if this is like a commercial, like on the radio or something. It was like, hey, come on down to Ted's Plumbing. The number is 555 something, something, something. I don't know. Go to the website. I don't know. Stay tuned for Rod in the Morning on KXYZ.
Okay. So maybe we're not. I don't know the word, but anyways, next announcement, Discovery. We have one in April and May, and you can sign up for those on our website, thewellcommunity.org. Get your homework packet, download it, fill it out, all that stuff.
Yeah, make sure you get us on Facebook or add us on Facebook with facebook.com/spoutcast or twitter.com/thespoutcast or email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. And what else you got, Kevin?
Instagram. I was going to say, if it gets major, hit me on my pager.
There you go.
My God.
Yeah, we also have an Instagram that we like to post on every once in a while.
Hey, guys, Let's take a picture.
We could totally take a picture.
Right now.
This is the spout.
And we're out.
I won't regret saying this thing that I'm saying. Is it better than keeping my...